I think all of you would agree with me that the world is getting worse instead of better. One of the foundations of society is the home. And the home is very much under attack today. And as the home goes, so goes the nation. We see a decline in so many ways, and it's especially true with regard to godly marriages. So today I'd like to talk with you about why God hates divorce. We're going to go back to the Old Testament about that because it's very clear what God has said about it. Turn to Malachi chapter 2, if you would. Let's begin with verse 13. And God speaks clearly about his feelings about this. In verse 13, and let's go back up to verse 10. There's so much good information here. Verse 10 says, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering any more, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, let his none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce." That's verse 16. "For it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied you? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of justice?" That last question is something that we don't really need to have answered. The God of justice is at hand. And we recognize that in this position, particular passage in Malachi of the Old Testament, God describes about why he hates divorce. And if anything in this country is marked a decline away from God, it's the divorce rate. I don't have the statistics, but all of us understand because it's all around us. My own brother, as I've mentioned before, had 12 different wives. I don't know how many divorces he had, but I see it in my own family, and I see it in the world, because things are happening the way they're happening so much. And so divorce violates a covenant. And I really want to speak about that covenant as we go along. A covenant is a solemn mutual agreement. In fact, actually, it becomes a vow. When a man and a woman stand before God and exchange vows, it establishes a covenant. But notice, it also includes God. And we have to recognize that. It's going to be important as we go along in our study. A marriage is a covenant in which each spouse promises to take the other as an exclusive companion. I read recently of some that called they had, said they had an open marriage. And what they meant was that either spouse could run around on the other one because it was just going to be accepted that way. And again, they're breaking the covenant that they should have made with God. God's marriage covenant is one man joined to one woman for life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "What God has joined together, let not man put asunder." And turning to the book of Romans, we also know some things that God is saying in the New Testament about this that we need to be aware of. And Romans chapter 7, and we see that God speaks exactly in the Old Testament as it does in the New Testament. Romans chapter 7, beginning verse 2, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. When I had opportunity to go to the northwest of this country, they are well known for the fact that they teach error on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I saw it firsthand. They believe there that the guilty party can remarry as well as the innocent party. And the way they look at this, they make it very clear that God hates divorce. They understand Malachi 2. But if they do divorce, then they're supposed to repent, and God wants us to be married, and so you can go ahead and marry again, even though you're the guilty party. And that's the way they reason about that. But when I went out there, I made up my mind that my message was going to be real simple. And it was one man and one woman for life, with one exception. Now, Brother Ron Halbrook has what he calls the wheel of divorce. And he has put on it various reasons. He said, just spin the wheel and get a divorce for any cause. And that's the way the world looks at it now, very much so. But at the same time, one man, one woman for life, with one exception, is what the Bible teaches. And I can answer every argument in favor of the guilty party remarrying by that particular stage. In Matthew chapter 19, it tells us clearly that there's only one cause, and we need to recognize that. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 19, and just notice this was an occasion when they came trying to tempt Jesus. They were trying to put him on the spot. And there were two philosophers, or two teachers, during the time of Jesus. One was very liberal, one was very conservative, and they were putting Jesus between those two. Whichever way he answered, they thought, oh, we've got him. We've got him, because if he answers one way, it'll be wrong. If he answers the other way, it's going to be wrong. And Jesus just took all that away from them, because he said in verse 9, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." And so he made it very clear, and he went back as they asked him that question in verse 3. He answered, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" And the answer that Jesus did was, neither one of those is important that you're trying to trap me with. He went back to the very beginning. And that's what he said. So God's will from the very beginning was the idea of one man and one woman for life. And in Matthew 19, the exception is given for fornication. And we understand that. And so divorce violates a covenant that you've made. A divorce is an effort to go back on one's word, to violate a solemn promise or agreement. And I'm sure when people stand up and make their vows or marriage and pledge to one another, possibly they really mean to keep that. You wouldn't want somebody to go into that with lies in their heart. But sometimes it doesn't continue the way it should. And God takes this very seriously, because not only the Old Testament of Matthew 2, Malachi 2, but also in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19. And verse 14 of Malachi 2 says, "The Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth." Now this is really important, because we have the man and the woman, but God is brought into it. And when God is there, the Bible talks about a bond being made. A bond that is made between God and the man and the woman. Now when one of them commits adultery, the bond is still there. And so the guilty party has no right to go and marry somebody else, because he's bound by God. And the bond is broken for the innocent party, but not broken for the guilty party. And therefore, he has no right to ever remarry. And that's something that he's saying here in verse 14. The Lord has been witness. When someone goes into marriage, then understand that they're asking God to be with them. And if that's the case, then that bond is established. And he said in Malachi 2, with whom you have dealt treacherously. That is, they've broken that covenant to act covertly, to be unfaithful, to be a traitor. And that happens so many times when one spouse is dedicated to the marriage and the other spouse slips around, commits adultery, is unfaithful. It's treacherous to the marriage relationship and needs to be understood that God is not happy with that. So divorce attempts to separate what God has joined together. Again, we speak of the bond. In verse 15 of Malachi 2, did he not make them one? And so the Lord said they should leave father and mother and become one flesh. And that's what the Holy Spirit is reminding us here. Genesis 2:24, be joined to his wife, they shall become one flesh. Now the fact that they're married also has God in that relationship. So then, they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate, Matthew 19:6. And that's so clear. It's just so very clear. When someone cannot understand that, it's because they've got some kind of agenda that they want to understand. That marriage bond still exists. A remarriage is adultery of the person who has violated the covenant and has been unfaithful. Now, it brings heartbreak. It's heartbreak to recognize that this sort of happens. I've seen it happen where one particular spouse is so trusting, and my mind goes back to an event where I was able to talk to them and understand the situation. The innocent woman did not understand that her husband had been so unfaithful. He had been unfaithful a number of times. And when we found out, and when she found out, she just cried and cried. And it put her in the hospital because she was so desperately sad that her husband had been lying to her for so long and had committed adultery again and again and again. And she was devastated. In the beginning, she was saying, please don't be too hard on him because I love him so much. And then as it began to unfold that he had lied and lied and lied and committed adultery so many times, she went through the natural emotions of anger and sadness that this had happened. And me, just as an observer, I saw the violence that that did to the innocent person. I saw the tragedy unfold with regard to the children. And these things, understand, are just happening all across the country now. The home and family is under attack, and so many people are divorcing. And really, the truth of the matter is, a lot of people are not even marrying, they're just living together. One of the statistics that I saw was that more people are living together without marriage than are actually living in marriage. And so our world is destroying the home and family. And that has consequences, brethren and friends, because what happens in the home is going to affect society. We can see society going down because the home is going down. And that's a sad situation to recognize. And divorce destroys a family. I've seen that happen. I've seen the children cry when they find out what's happened in the home. And the reason why God talks about marriage being a covenant, he seeks godly offspring. That's the purpose of a family. As Jesus said, to go forward and multiply and replenish the earth. The family, which starts with a marriage, is the institution or relationship that God designed and created for the raising of children. And what a blessing that is when people understand their responsibilities in that relationship. What a blessing it is to have children that love you and that you love them. And they do everything you can to keep them together. So the father and mother living together provide the stability for the family. And when that stability is destroyed, it brings destruction upon the family, and the children are affected. You have to recognize that the fact that what the father and the mother does is not just their business, because it affects the children as well, and they're going to be shattered to some degree. And so this arrangement is the foundation which they build their lives, their character, and their trust. It's not unusual now to understand why there's so much rebellion among children today, because they've seen so much treachery in their marriage, in their homes, and they're not living in a stable family relationship. So you think about the welfare of America. Rather than in France, it starts in the home. Yes, I know it starts with Christians, and I understand how important it is to be a child of God. But that also elevates into the marriage relationship. When a man and a woman are Christians together, and they love each other the way they're supposed to, and they become that one flesh, then they're ready for the family to be built, and a strong society has that good family structure. But divorce brings pain and misery to the innocent victims. And this is one thing we need to recognize. It's just not about the man and the woman. It's about the offspring. Verse 16 of Malachi 2 says, it covers one's garment with violence. And you see that as children are torn between a mother and a father. And sometimes they have to make visitation rights, where they'll be here a week, and then they'll be there a week, or one weekend here, and then the other week at school. And they're just confused about what life is. And so the children are not to be blamed, but it does affect the children because of that. And Malachi 2 says in verse 13, you cover the altar with tears of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying. But they were not really sincere in that. It offended God because of their hypocrisy. The one thing that even in the New Testament Jesus talks about is the idea of hypocrisy in Matthew 23, and how God hates that. And so we have the idea of people determining they're going to violate this covenant, and yet they're going to cry about it. God is not acceptable with that. So it violates a covenant, attempts to destroy what God has made, destroys the stability and foundation that children need, and does violence to innocent people. And you say, well, I just got a divorce. But we don't understand that a marriage is made in heaven. I've been seeing on the internet recently where different Christian couples have been married so very long. And they're putting out the fact, we've been married 20 years, we've been married 50 years. And I would respond by saying it's a marriage made in heaven, because they're living what the Lord says to do. It's so important that we understand that we have a commitment, that when I make a vow, I've got to keep that. God says we're supposed to keep our vows. But when you stand before God and you make a covenant with another person, that you're going to live together as one person, and you're going to establish a home and family, and you're going to be a steadfast thing in the lives of the children, that is so important to recognize, that we don't just throw it away. So we take a step back and just look at our nation. What I see in our nation is something like out of Hollywood, where sometimes people were married for one day, and then they filed for divorce. And then there are others that have the open marriage. They just commit fornication with whomever they wish, and everybody is agreeable to that except God. And you see this going on and on and on in America, and what it's doing to America. And I mentioned last week that there's a connection between doctrine and morality. When you have the marriage doctrine, the truth about marriage, and it's destroyed, it has an effect on the morality of the nation. So what's happening in our nation is the fact that morality has almost ceased to exist. And people don't even think of it being immoral now to live together. They just do it because everybody else is doing it. So this morning we need to recognize clearly that when a divorce takes place, it violates a covenant. The covenant you've made with God. It attempts to destroy what God has made. It destroys the stability and the foundation that children need. And how much do we know that? We know that children need a stable society in which to grow up. The schools are already difficult for our children. They're teaching children in schools now that they have a gender confusion. This is being taught in schools, that it's okay to be a transgender, and the teachers are teaching that sort of thing. I see people back in homeschooling again because you can't get the truth in a public school. And there's so much stuff going on where teachers now are instructed through the college process to be sure to teach about diversity. And so you've got to have diversity in the classroom. And that means that the teacher's going to say that a same-sex marriage is okay, or a transgender boy or a transgender girl is to be normal. And we're normalizing the worst kind of stuff that's tearing America down. Is there any understanding then why there's so much abortion going on? This last year, 42 million abortions took place. That's the size of a country. And people are doing that. I remember reading about one abortion doctor who had kept many of his aborted children in his house. And some of them were in the trunk of his car. There's just no regard to children. There's no love for children. And one man even said to the mother, "If you don't want this child, we'll just break its neck." But you see, there's a connection between doctrine and morality. When people get the idea that God's word doesn't mean anything, then they're free to do whatever they want to do. And this nation is going down the tubes because of that very understanding. I pray so hard that something can be said or done to bring our people back to the Lord. I remember very well, because I was a young boy in World War II, the church buildings were so full, people were so religious, everybody that had somebody in the military had a star in their window. And that said that there were a relative was in the military. And people were afraid that they were going to lose their loved ones. And so they came back to God. What is it going to take for people to come back to God today? And so it does violence to innocent people. A good, faithful wife can be wiped out. I've seen it happen. And it's so tragic to see that among Christians who shouldn't do that. I remember a situation where we had a song leader. And the song leader usually had a smile on his face. And then Pauline and I noticed that suddenly he didn't have a smile on his face anymore. And we began to watch. And we saw the signs, you know, there's body language. And so the elders called the couple to come in, and they admitted that they'd committed adultery. But the woman said, "Leave us alone because we love each other." Well, there was the innocent woman at home that didn't even know what was going on yet. "Just leave us alone." And my response was, "Do you think God's going to leave you alone at the judgment day?" And we took a stance against that because you cannot approve of open adultery. And it often results in that when people break their covenant. Destroys the most basic building block of society. And I hope you do realize that. When Jesus told the Christians and disciples, "You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world," this is what he meant. That by living the life of a Christian, a husband and a wife and God together, that you make an influence around you and people see the goodness in that. And I believe that's to be basically true. And what happens is it brings sin and trouble into the Lord's church. And so we finally had to withdraw from this couple because they lied again and again. They told us they wouldn't see each other. people to come to the elders and say, I've seen them together. And they would admit it when they were faced with it. But it tore up a family and brought grief to a church. And here's the worst thing. It'll bring condemned souls to an eternal hell because people aren't living the way God wants them to live. So this is my lesson this morning with regard to this, as we understand the evil of divorce. And from Malachi 2, even into the New Testament, it's very clear that God hates divorce. And if you are a child of God, you're going to be faithful to your vows. You'll be faithful in your covenant. You will remain faithful to your spouse because you're not only loving your spouse, but you're also loving God. And you want God to love you back. If you're here this morning and you've recognized sin in your life, we'll hope that you'll make it right by